WGNSTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. For the next 15 minutes, we're going to talk about Notre Dame's venture out west, or somewhat as far west, I guess, as Texas. But definitely an interesting game. I mean, it's kind of a unique situation. It's a home football game for Notre Dame, but they're playing it in San Antonio. And I guess the one good thing or hopeful thing out of this is it's going to stir this Notre Dame football team from a standpoint of, you know, playing for a little bit of fun, playing something unique, playing something that, you know, maybe will draw some of the best play out of these guys, hopefully. I don't know. I mean, a lot of good things that can happen with this. I guess some bad things too. We'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, well, you know, I just watched a video of or an interview of Charlie, and he was talking about how the team is really looking forward to getting down there, and I can see that. You know, they haven't been on a plane all year. They haven't played on turf all year. There's probably maybe, you know, most players I don't think like playing on turf, but fast players sometimes do. So I'm going to be watching that. That should be pretty interesting to see him play on turf, because who knows, we might end up in the Sugar Bowl if we're lucky.
Yeah,
and then, you know, that'll be in the Superdome. I think they still call it the Superdome. So yeah, there's a lot. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, Mike, but I'm looking for, you know, I'm looking for seeing a lot of Dane Crist and Deaver and Matt Romine. You know, I'm looking for seeing some reserves, you know, towards the end of the third quarter. I mean, I really want to see them come out and dominate a team that they should dominate and put this game away, you know, by the middle of the third quarter. I mean, I think that's, you know, the same way that for Notre Dame football to get back to where we all want it to be, we have to win the big games, we have to win the close games, we have to be competitive and you know, beat Southern Cal, but we also have to put the hammer down on teams that we should clearly beat. And I think this is a good opportunity to do that and take a step in that direction. And that's what I'm going to be watching for. I want to see the reserves, and I want to see them put the hammer down on these guys.
Yeah, you kind of hope. I mean, this is one of those strange games where obviously there's not a lot of good that can come out of this. You need Notre Dame to win. You need them to win somewhat convincingly, and you need to show a little bit of domination here. Anything short of that is going to be a disappointment for this football team. And this is a critical point in the season for these guys. You know, they've had their way where they've won some games close down the stretch, and a lot of people think that those shouldn't have been close football games. Here's clearly the opportunity where this one definitely should not be a close football game, at least on paper. I mean, Washington State is 1-6. The one win they got is an overtime win against Southern Methodist. A couple teams they've played, we have on our schedule, Stanford, and they lost to them 39-13. USC, they lost 27-6. I mean, that kind of sounds like maybe that might have been a little bit of a game. But the fact of the matter is, they're 1-6. I mean, anytime a football team's 1-6, not a lot of good things are going right. And, you know, if we clearly are what we think to be, and what we hope to be is a, you know, top 14 team at the end of the season here to get us into a BCS, then that means you got to be able to handle a team like Washington State. So it's going to be interesting. It'll be a lot said about Charlie Weiss coming after this game, that's for sure, because there's really no excuse not to get this team ready. A lot of reasons to get excited. A lot of these players are going home. I mean, Texas is a recruiting base for us. I think we got like 8 kids on the team that all have significant playing time that are going home to play some football. So you got to believe that at least all the pieces are there and there's no excuses.
Yeah, I think that, you know, how we talked about last week, we talked about style points. And maybe this is the first week this year where I'll be paying a little bit more attention to style points. I think they should not only win, but they should win convincingly. And part of the reason, I think, is because this isn't a trap game. I mean, we haven't, with the exception of the first game of the season, had a convincing win. So this is one that shouldn't be sneaking up. But, you know, in other words, there isn't an excuse for us not to be emotionally ready, in my mind, or in a reason that we should come out flat or anything like that. Like you said, there's plenty of motivation, and I do think that in reading some of the remarks and listening to some of the interviews with the coaches and players, again, they're all programmed to say certain things, but I've got to believe that they recognize that they've got 5 one-game seasons left, and that's the way they have to approach it. Every Monday morning, every Sunday film, they put the previous Saturday behind them, and then they really just focus on the next 6 days. They don't have a choice. They can't roll the ball out there and beat anybody. They've got to be ready. So I think I'm looking forward to it. I kind of like the different environment. It's kind of got a little bit of a bowl game type feel to it, which I think is good for some of the younger players. Really, the freshmen, like I said, haven't been on a plane, haven't dealt with that aspect of college football yet, haven't dealt with a completely kind of foreign environment. So I think it's a real good, it's a good measuring stick also just to see how far along the team is mentally, because everybody agrees that they're favored by whatever 4 touchdowns, and they should win by 4 touchdowns. So let's see if they can go and do it.
One other thing that we'll have to watch for, obviously, in this game is the momentum coming out of the type of game of a primetime 7:30 game, national TV, and everybody on NBC, meaning everybody in the country can watch it if they choose. They may not. There's other games going on, but the fact for these Notre Dame players, you know, it's a big time under the lights game, so to speak, out in San Antonio, a little bit of bowl flavor to it. And if the momentum can pick up and the reports are true, coming out of Notre Dame, that Michael Floyd will be back next week, I really do think that could bode very well for us from the standpoint that he's the kind of player that could add 1 or 2 touchdowns a game. And talking about an offense that, you know, has been good all year long without him, it's clearly shown. I mean, I think that, you know, the points production have dropped since that kid left. And even, you know, the times that he left in the games where he got hurt, there was a noticeable drop off. So it's huge for us from that standpoint. If we can get some momentum, get going, Floyd comes back, we start clicking on all cylinders offensively, you're then talking about a football team that has a chance to finish with 2 losses, head into a BCS game. And as an Irish fan, you really can't argue with that one, being where we left the season last year and then what we're looking at heading into this year.
Yeah, I mean, there's a long road ahead, but there's no doubt that, I mean, a couple things. First of all, Saturday night, all the non-Notre Dame fans that tune in, they might be tuning in just because they figure if it's Notre Dame, they're going to get a close game that might go into overtime. So hopefully we disappoint them in that regard, if people are tuning in expecting to see a good game. But yeah, I agree. Getting Floyd back would be key. I don't think we should count on it. It might be a situation like there was with Paris, where he comes back and immediately aggravates something. I think you always got to be prepared for that, especially with an injury like a collarbone. People come back from that, I think, sometimes a little bit too quickly. You know, those things can break down again. But I agree. I mean, it's every week is a chance to get better. And they can position themselves very, very well. If we could avoid injuries Saturday, I guess that's a little bit more of a risk on the turf sometimes. If we can maybe show a little bit of improvement on defense and maybe for the first time this year play well against a freshman quarterback, a true freshman quarterback, and beat a true freshman quarterback handily. We haven't been able to do that this year. There's a lot to we've said this all season long. Each game is a little bit of a story, a little bit of an adventure. There's no coasting. And like I think I mentioned to you, Mike, I ran into Sully the other day, and he said that he had seen a statistic where right now the top 25 BCS teams, that Notre Dame's strength of schedule is sixth among the top 25. So that is a very different set of facts, set of circumstances that we were talking about at the beginning of the season, when the conventional wisdom was easy schedule. Notre Dame as would have trouble overcoming an easy schedule when it came to time for bowl bids and BCS rankings, etc. It looks like actually this schedule might end up working in our favor, as Pittsburgh has one loss, USC has one loss, I think Navy has one or two losses, Michigan State is above 500, Michigan's above 500, Purdue beat Ohio State and is playing better, Washington I believe is 500 or one game above 500. Really, this team that we play Saturday is the only team that is either below 500 or certainly well below 500. So, you know, Nevada has played really well. I mean, they scored 70 points against somebody last week, and now they're 4-3 and undefeated in their conference. So, the schedule is starting to work in our favor in terms of the help that we're going to need at the end of the year when it comes time to determine our final destination.
Yeah, definitely having Pittsburgh be where they're at clearly helps us in a big way. And mostly from the standpoint that game truly is going to be a war. No easy one there. And I think if Notre Dame can show some promise here this weekend, facing a Navy team that always rushes well, that never has been a problem for Navy, and really getting to see is Notre Dame really that improved against the rush? I mean, I thought we played incredibly well against USC, against the rush, defending that. We obviously did it against Boston College. Navy is a totally different animal. I mean, that's where you're really tested from that standpoint. That's going to be interesting to see in that game. But then obviously going to Pittsburgh and facing a team that could very well be a one-loss team and might even, could be scratching at the top 10. It might be 12th, 13th. You never know. But clearly, what's not the case is this schedule is not anything anybody thought it was at the beginning of the season, which was not much of a challenge. I mean, it's turned out to be every bit as that. And I even think that for us, there's a little bit of worry about the last game of the season going out to Stanford, because we've been in that situation before, thinking that we're going to walk all over them, and it just never seems to turn out that way. So that's always going to be a challenge for us. One of the other interesting things that's now starting to emerge as well for us as a football program is the whole recruiting side of things. And we obviously had a ton of recruits in for the USC game. It would have been nice to win that game. But, the strange thing is, when it comes to recruiting, it's all about how you deliver the pitch. And you got to believe that a lot of recruits were told that night, hey, you know what? You guys could be the difference in turning the corner. We're that close. We're that much in line with the elite programs in college football. And all we need is a little bit more, and we're there. And you got to think that resonates. We did end up landing somebody right after that game, a verbal commitment that we weren't expecting. And I think that this game this weekend is going to be another shot at that. It's going to be another opportunity for us to score on the recruiting side of things. And that's going to bode well for us moving ahead as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm sitting here right now watching the North Carolina-Virginia Tech game, and I'm seeing Greg Little, who just scored a touchdown for North Carolina, caught a nice pass in the corner of the end zone. You remember him, Carolina kid who committed to Notre Dame and then changed his mind at the last second. So just like our football season has a long way to go, and there'll be twists and turns before we really close the book on how good this team is and how much progress that they've made. Same thing with recruiting. There's a long way to go. There'll probably be some kids that'll change their mind. There'll be some surprises and there'll be some disappointments, but got a commitment from another kid this week, a running back from Florida, same school as Sam Young, Dan Wegner, a real nice pipeline going there, and supposedly there's a tackle down there, Brandon Linder, who might be coming close to deciding on Notre Dame. It sounds like they're in really good position for Lewis Nix, who's a big defensive tackle, who has right now is a verbal to Miami. So it's really, the trenches are really kind of the key coming down the stretch here. A couple defensive linemen, a couple offensive linemen that would really make this class go from good to great. And I am a believer that the surest way to end up having a really enjoyable and productive February 3rd, 2010 is to continue to win on the field in the fall of 2009. That's the best thing that Charlie Weiss and his staff can do for recruiting, is to get these guys prepared and take each game as it comes and win each game and get to a bowl game. And that's the best thing that they could do to continue to pick off these recruits, in my opinion. Because coming into this year, the big question mark was this head coach and this coaching staff going to be intact? And that was clearly something that was being used against them on the recruiting trail, the potential instability of the program. And with each week that Notre Dame goes out and wins a football game, that becomes less and less of an argument for competing coaches recruiting on the trail, and it just makes our situation that much better all the way around. So I think that it's right out there in front of us, Mike. It's right out there in front of us to finish strong and have a good season. It's right out there in front of us to close a deal with some recruits. Because I'll tell you, it is obvious that if Notre Dame still is a situation right now in recruiting, an environment that Charlie's created, where if he can get a kid, five-star, Texas, Florida, California, you name it, and get them on campus, they have a legitimate shot at getting them. Doesn't matter what the kid thought about Notre Dame coming in. They have a legitimate shot at getting any kid that they could get on campus for a visit. So they are delivering the goods in the recruiting game, in my humble opinion. But it's a week-to-week thing.
It is, yeah. And I think that some of the good things you hear about it, at least, is that when talking to some of these recruits and trying to get a feel from them about their experience, what they do, almost all of them have said, is that they've really been impressed with the overall team chemistry. And I think that's not something that you can easily sell or fake or, you know, put some mirrors up to create a scenario of that existing when it really doesn't. So clearly what is going on is the Notre Dame current football players are doing a heck of a job in selling the program. And right at the moment, it sounds like there is good team chemistry going on. And a lot of these kids that have made visits to us have been impressed with that whole side of things, which means that for some reason they're not seeing that elsewhere, or they're not getting it. And, you know, it's interesting because you could easily take a quick look at Florida and say, okay, there's a program that, you know, was picked to be number one this whole entire year and to walk away with it. And they're somewhat struggling to a little. And you got to wonder, is there some of that dissension going on within the team? You know, as recruits visit that, are they get picking up on that? Is there a sense of that? I mean, whereas on a program like ours, where we're trying to rise above, if you're getting that sense and that feel by being around the players themselves, I mean, there's nothing more to sell that any better than that kind of scenario.
Yeah. No, I think it's a couple things. I think the first thing, I don't know anything about what's going on in Florida and what's going on in the program, but I've always thought that when you have an established star who already is an established star and then comes back for another year like Tebow, that sometimes creates some issues, because there was just so much attention and so much hype around that one individual that it is can be challenging, I think, sometimes. I mean, I think we had that when, you know, Brady had a fantastic junior year and then his senior year was a little bit underwhelming. You know, I still to this day think that there were some guys, you know, on that team that kind of mailed it in halfway during the season because they were thinking about their draft position. And I think we have a little bit of a different situation, because coming into this year, Jimmy Clausen was a question mark. Now he's kind of demonstrating his potential, and we've got a really good quarterback on our hands. I think it's a little bit different than the Tebow situation, where you've got this guy that was coming into this year had already demonstrated that he was the man, that he was a great college quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's my little take on the whole Florida thing. But on Notre Dame's recruiting situation, I totally agree with you about the chemistry. The other big thing is that you can't discount is the fact that Manti Te'o, the highest profile recruit of last year's class, is on the field and producing, and got on the field producing very quickly. So, you know, if you're a top-notch player at a position of need for Notre Dame, there's no way that you can look at this staff or this team and not say to yourself, that could be me by the middle of next season, you know, on the field, if I've got the goods, and if I bring it to practice, and if I demonstrate that I can play, then there's not going to be a you know, a strict seniority system. If I can play, I'm going to be on the field.
Yeah, well, let's hope it all works out for us, and it starts by having a pretty convincing win this Saturday.
Yeah, let's go out and just blow these guys' doors off, and so that I don't feel as guilty about sitting there eating all the little mini Snickers bars that probably pile up on the kitchen table from trick-or-treating the 2 hours before the game starts.
Well, one indication that the weekend didn't go as well as we had hoped is probably us not posting a show on Monday, which gets tougher and tougher as we head through this. But we'll see. Who knows? Let's go ahead and wrap it up. You're listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanek, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week, hopefully, to recap a convincing Notre Dame Irish win. See ya.